You are listening to the Wabash Presbyterian Church podcast for Sunday, July 12th. In this podcast, Pastor Jonathan Cornell continues the series, Deep Breath. The message focuses on Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, and is entitled, An Amateur Spirit.
Dave Boyd, or Davo as we came to know him, understands the power of the Word. Dave was the husband of one of our site coordinator at our West Virginia mission trip in Flemington. Stephanie was her name. And for many years, Dave has served in community development and short-term mission projects through organizations like World Servants. And he is from originally a town in Kentucky called Wheelwright. And like most communities in eastern Kentucky and in West Virginia, places like Wheelwright and Flemington struggle even today because coal mining and the coal mining industry has dried up and jobs have gone away and many are left without work and struggling to find a way to take care of their families. And so in our afternoon visits together, Dave and I had a chance to get to know one another. And one of the things that I learned about him was that Dave had a vision. His vision was that the abandoned high school in Wheelwright that had been consolidated and left empty would be turned into a skills-based vocational training center for coal miners, for those that were left without jobs and had to learn a new way of taking care of their family. A few years ago, Dave was working with World Vision domestically. You know, World Vision is an organization that does child sponsorship around the world, and one of their domestic initiatives is short-term mission projects. And Dave worked as a site coordinator for World Vision for many years, and in the process, or in his days of working with World Vision, he had a chance to meet a man by the name, and some of you might recognize this name, Sweet Lou Piniella. Anyone remember who Lou Piniella is? Yes, you baseball fans out there know that Lou Piniella was the former manager of the Seattle Mariners. And over the course of this conversation, Dave went on to tell me that he had developed a friendship with Lou Piniella. A few months ago, Dave got a phone call. He was at home. Phone rings, and on the other line is his friend Lou. And it was Lou, and he said, Dave, I want to come to Wheelwright. I've got a friend. He's a donor. He's looking to invest millions of dollars. And he heard about Wheelwright. He heard about your vision for vocational training. And he wants to come and meet you. Well, fast forward, like I said, fast forward this week, Dave met with Lou Piniella and this donor, and they are in the process of working out an agreement where they would create a skills training center for out-of-work coal miners to learn new skills to enter the job market. Words have transformative power. A well-placed word, one that is inspired by the Spirit, one that is accompanied by an act of kindness, can lead a person to the Savior, and that Savior changes lives. This morning we're going to look at a story from Scripture in which the Holy Spirit uses its powerful and mysterious presence to lead an unlikely person into the presence of the Savior. And this person comes into the presence of Jesus, not on his own behalf, but on the behalf of someone else. And so if you would, I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles, either the one that you brought with you or the one in the pew rack, to Matthew chapter 8. And if you're following along on the red Bibles, it's on page 7 of the New Testament. Now that's the New Testament, so turn about 3/4 of the way through the Bible and you'll get to page 1. But turn to Matthew or look at the screens to my left and right. And out of respect and reverence for the authority of God's word, would you stand with me as we hear God's word spoken to us this morning. Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 5. When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes. I say to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and from west, and they will recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown out into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion he said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but what we just read never will. Amen, and you can be seated. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives as a means of grace, and the Holy Spirit does so by revealing to us the word of Christ. As one commentator puts it, the Holy Spirit is sort of like the shy member of the Trinity. What I mean by this is that the Holy Spirit is always pointing attention away from himself to Jesus. Saying, look, you want to know Jesus, or you want to know what God is about, look to Jesus. Jesus is the one word who brings life into dead places. Faith comes when we hear that word. Now, throughout this sermon series, we've spent each week trying to understand how the Holy Spirit is known. And what I've realized is that I think the shyness of the Spirit is part of the Spirit's sort of elusiveness. Like that behind-the-scenes helper that is fully content to divert all the attention to the leader. Points us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit works its wonders in our lives when it sends us to Christ. This morning, Jesus encounters a man who, whether he realizes it or not, is absolutely full of the Holy Spirit. He also happens to be a Roman centurion, which not somebody that you would expect to be paying a visit to a rabbi. And he's especially not one who is going to be inviting that rabbi to defile himself by coming and having dinner at his house. Centurions are those who give orders. They don't take orders, especially not from Jews. So instead, the centurion simply says, "Jesus, only say the word, and my servant will be healed." Now, in the Bible, when we read stories of Jesus, we find that Jesus is not often impressed by others. He's not often impressed by others, particularly when it comes to faith. He sees a lot of people who are faithful, but you know what? He actually is sometimes critical to those people because their faith is self-righteousness or puffed up. But in this moment, Jesus is so moved by the faith of this stranger that he heals the servant right on the spot. And what's remarkable is that in simply hearing the second or the third hand account of what Jesus was doing in this region, this centurion had enough faith to believe by what hearsay told him. For him, hearsay was enough burden of proof for this centurion to believe that Jesus was the Savior. Jesus was somebody who could do something miraculous. So how does this happen? How do we get here? What's going on in this scene? I think what it is it's just the Spirit doing what the Spirit does. The great work of the Spirit is going ahead, sort of greasing the skids or preparing the soil for the gospel to take root, preparing lives so that when they hear Jesus, it works. He lands softly, tenderly, eternally. You know, all along we thought things like Google and Facebook were the most efficient means of transmitting a message, but no, that's the Spirit. The Spirit moves much more efficiently. The Holy Spirit is the conduit in which salvation gets announced to people like you and me. There's a whole lot of arguing going on right now in our culture about whether the church still has a place in society and what our relevance will be. Will it be to support political agendas? Will it be to push for legislation? Will it be to convert souls? Will it be to open soup kitchens? Or will it be to reform society? All of these are secondary. All of these are absolutely secondary to what the church is supposed to be about. We gather. All of us are here. You are here. I am here because I, and hopefully you, need to hear something. We need to hear something. We need to hear about the kingdom of God. Healing coming into our lives. Transformation that is still possible. We can be going in one direction, and it might not be a very good direction. It might not be a healthy direction. We come here to hear that there is another way. There's another destination. There's another path. We exist to announce the reality of the kingdom of God in our midst. Everything else flows out of that reality. Now, does this mean that when we hear and respond to the word that all of our troubles vanish, that we can live the blessed life, all of our troubles will be gone? I don't think that's what it means. Sometimes I'll talk to people and they'll say things like, you know, I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for my grandma and she didn't get healed. Now, does this mean that the person didn't pray enough or they didn't have sincere enough faith that God would heal their grandma? I don't think God heals based on the sincerity of our prayers. So why do we come before God? Why do we come to worship, to hear the word? We come to hear the word and to place our lives before Almighty God. The remarkable thing about this centurion is not that he had strong enough faith so that his servant would be healed. It was that he had faith to place his servant's life in Jesus' hands. One author puts it this way: the amazing faith of the centurion was not in getting what he wanted to have happen. His faith was in the Savior, whatever happened. Faith is not going to Jesus with our laundry list, like going to Santa Claus. The Spirit gives us faith to place our lives, as the centurion did, in Jesus' hands and say, Lord, it's all yours. I trust in you. I give you my problems. I give you my hopes. And this is what Paul in Colossians says is the treasure and the knowledge and the wisdom that are hid in Christ. That there is rest, there is hope, even though things around us may not be perfect, even though our lives might still have problems, there is hope, there is wisdom, there is knowledge in knowing that our lives are in Jesus' hands. There's something remarkable that took a centurion soldier, a man under authority, a man under orders by the Roman Empire, and captivated his heart. It's the Holy Spirit snatches up our attention, not for its own glory. It doesn't do it for its own sake. It doesn't draw attention to itself. It diverts attention to Christ. It's all about Christ. There's a beautiful painting. You've probably seen, maybe you've seen it before. It's called the Eisenheim Altarpiece. It's by the German master Matthias Grunewald. And we've got a picture of it here up to my left and my right. And in this painting, you see the crucifixion scene. And you have Mary and Martha, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. And Jesus is hanging there, lifeless. And just to his left, we have John the Baptist. And this painting gives a wonderful lesson. It gives a wonderful, makes a wonderful statement. You see that long, bony finger of John the Baptist pointing to Jesus. And what he's saying is that all of God's promises, all of God's covenanted history, all of the promises, all of the history is fulfilled in this man. You want to see how history, how political, how relational, how social history finds its center? Look to him. You want to know where hurting lives find rest? Look to him. You want to see where all the hope where we can go to find what it is we're looking for, to find rest, to find salvation? Look to Jesus. One of my professors in seminary, Daryl Guder, used to say, it's not our job to save people, it's not our job to convert people. Our job is to be witnesses to the living Christ at work in our world. And say, when you see grace, when you see transformation, when you see restoration, look to him. That is Jesus at work in you. Early in my time in ministry, a friend of mine, a mentor, gave me a piece of advice that has stuck with me ever since. He said, Jonathan, pray for an amateur spirit. And what he meant by this is that don't get so drawn into the busyness of ministry that you lose that sense of excitement. You lose that sense of wonder for what the Holy Spirit, what Jesus is still doing in the world. Don't lose that sense of excitement for the beauty of Scripture. Wabash Press, I want to encourage us to pray that we don't fall victim to insiders' boredom. For we, especially we, need to hear again and again and again the voice of God the Father saying, this is my beloved Son. In him I am deeply pleased. After all, how can we ever run out of things to be excited about when our focus, when our life is pointed towards the one who Paul puts in Ephesians 3 is the unsearchable riches of Christ. How else does a missionary from Wheelwright, Kentucky end up leading and teaching millionaires and billionaires, megachurch pastors, an amateur spirit, a willingness for wonder, an openness for amazement, one that can be humbled by God's transformative work in our world? The Holy Spirit is standing quietly alongside, pointing us to Jesus, who is the unsearchable riches of God given to us in Scripture. and for us as it was for that faith-filled centurion, as it is for us in him, all it takes to be transformed, to begin that process of being remade in the Spirit, is just one word. All it takes is a word. Let's pray. Lord, let us be amazed. Let us be awestruck. Let us be excited and renewed in our love for your word. For we know that it is in your word that the Spirit moves in our midst to transform, to renew, and to set free. Lord, we are invited to be bearers of that word, to share that word with our neighbors, to share that word with our community. And may we be confident to know that where your word is proclaimed, it does not come back void. For we call upon you and place our lives under the authority, under the leadership of your word. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.